It's the 21st show. I'm Brian Mackey. When you need to type up a document, what is your preferred font? On Microsoft Word, the most famous of word processors, the default font used to be Times New Roman, which was a standard for a long time for how professional documents needed to look. Then, in 2007, Microsoft switched to a font called Calibri, which I guess it looked better on modern HD displays as opposed to those giant glass monitors we used to have on our desks. It was also more accessible for readers because it was sans serif, meaning it didn't have those little curly cues at the tops and bottoms and edges of letters that you see on fonts like Times New Roman. Well, 2 years ago, Microsoft switched again from Calibri to Aptos, another sans serif font, but that's a story for another day. Today, we're focusing on some recent news from the federal government. This week, U.S. Secretary of State Marco Rubio has directed the State Department to go back to Times New Roman. It had switched to Calibri a couple of years ago under the Biden administration, a move that was welcomed by internal federal diversity and disability groups. But the Secretary of State says this better aligns with President Trump's One Voice for America's Foreign Relations Directive. So for the rest of the program today, we're going to talk about what's in a font, what makes some more formal or readable than others. And we're talking about this with Ellen Lupton, who's part of the graduate faculty at the Maryland Institute College of Art and the author of Thinking with Type, a critical guide for designers, writers, editors, and students. This is a widely used and best-selling book in the world of graphic design. I happen to have a copy myself, and Ellen, I got to say, I went to my bookshelf this morning. I have actually 5 books that you have authored or co-authored. So graphic design is my passion. Thank you for joining us today on the 21st show.
How beautiful, Brian. Thank you.
So what do you think of this change to Times New Roman?
Well, graphic designers around the world rejoice when we're in the headlines. You know, typefaces are usually just the headline itself, but not the point. So it's exciting to see people talk about these humble little letter forms that actually all of us use and interact with every day.
So what do you think of Times New Roman as a font, as a graphic design expert when you are thinking with type?
Well, I'm a type nerd, so I would never use Times New Roman.
It's basic, right? It's the khaki pants.
Yeah, it's boring. It's like an Oreo cookie, you know, like Oreos are fine, but I wouldn't put them in my holiday cookie box. That said, there's nothing wrong with it. It's a functional typeface that we all have access to because it's shipped on everybody's computer, and that makes it convenient and easy to use. Nothing wrong with it.
Nothing wrong with it. What about Calibri, the font that Microsoft switched to, what did I say, back in 2007? And, you know, for people who don't have their software updated as frequently, many of them are probably still using this.
Yeah, Calibri's fine, too. It's also a kind of boring, dull font. And in fact, typefaces are also often supposed to be boring. We're not supposed to think about them too much. They're there as a supporting cast to help us read content and find our way around the world. Calibri's fine, and just like Times New Roman, it came with your computer, so we can all use it.
So when you look at Calibri versus Times New Roman, as somebody who has, you know, these expert eyes, what do you see as the differences that might make it a superior choice, particularly with accessibility as the mindset or the goal?
Well, Calibri looks bigger. It has simpler forms. So for a lot of readers, it just feels more like a kid's book. It feels less ornate and complicated. And because of the proportions of the letters, it just looks bigger on the screen or on the page than the more elegant, detailed, refined shapes of Times New Roman. So lots of readers like it and find it to be more comfortable for them.
How do you balance accessibility with prettiness, right? Or how would you put it? Pleasing, aesthetic beauty in graphic design, font design.
Well, they're both really important, and it's really a question of context. If I go to the airport and all the signs look like the logo for Vogue magazine, I'd be pretty confused. I'd think, am I looking for my gate or am I looking for the perfume counter? You know, we expect a kind of functional, straightforward typeface at the airport. When we read a novel, we want something more literary and more refined with those pretty little serifs and nice proportions. So Times New Roman is more literary, it's more old-fashioned, it's more traditional. And I think that's what our federal government is embracing, is a more old-time, back-in-the-day look and feel.
You know, accessibility is something that has become increasingly a part of our lives since the Americans with Disabilities Act back in the 90s, I believe that first passed. And, you know, people are so used to seeing wheelchair ramps on buildings now, or those little buttons you push that open the doors for you, or wider bathroom stalls. I feel like graphic design, though, has taken longer to catch up in some ways in terms of accessibility. And I mean, even our station is based at the University of Illinois. There are still new mandates coming out for, you know, our own website, for example, and things that we have to do to make sure it's accessible to people with low vision or hearing impairment, those sorts of things. Can you talk about how the field of graphic design has reckoned with disability over the years and you know, accessibility, I should say?
Yeah, actually, I think graphic design has been a leader in accessibility. And that term means a lot of things. It means accessible language, presenting any kind of message or communication in a way that lots of people can understand it. It means presenting information in an audio and a visual form. And that's probably what you have to do on your website, right? Is make sure that people can get information in different ways depending on their medium. And in typeface design, there's a lot of focus on making typefaces as legible and clear as possible to as many users as possible. And Calibri does a pretty good job with that, maybe not the greatest on the planet, but that's definitely one of its purposes is to be clear and easy for people to read.
I think the word woke did come up in the State Department's discussions of this. Have you, you know, do you see certain fonts as falling under that definition of woke, however you might describe it?
I think a font should not be a political football, Brian. I think it's a crying
Everything's a
shame.
political football these days. Come on, it's only a matter of time before the culture wars takes over
At least
everything.
it's keeping the late night comedians talking about typefaces, which only happens every couple years. So.
Well, let's talk about that typefaces in pop culture. You know, there's that famous meme on the internet, graphic design is my passion. You may have seen that with the frog clip art pasted onto you know, a gray foggy background with some, I don't know if that font is papyrus, or you could probably tell me what it is if you know that one, but
Papyrus is one of the most hated
yeah.
typefaces among type
Right.
nerds and is the subject of epic takedowns. Yes.
Yes, my favorite being on Saturday Night Live a few years ago. People can Google that, SNL Papyrus. But you know, Comic Sans is another one that comes up. I wonder how you think about, you know, fonts making their way into pop culture. Is it a cause for joy for you, or is it lead to some cringe moments as well?
Well, a little bit of both. I mean, Comic Sans is actually a typeface that a lot of people love, including in the disability community, because it's
Oh, tell
easy
me
to
more.
read. Well, it feels human, it's easy to read, it doesn't have fancy parts or it doesn't take on airs, as we might say. So it's actually considered an accessible typeface. Is it good taste? No. Would you wear it to a fancy dinner at the State Department? No, right? So fonts, they have attitude. They express a point of view. They say something about culture. And Times New Roman is more of a suit and tie kind of guy, and Calibri is more combat boots or athleisure, which you might not wear to the White House today.
You know, fonts have become so much more accessible since the advent of desktop publishing, and people can make great choices and terrible choices for themselves. I wonder if you can talk about that evolution over the years and how, you know, you've seen that change. And I guess this is the point of some of your books, right? Is getting everyday people, not just designers, but everyday people to think more about how they're implementing design choices in their lives.
Absolutely. It's very amazing to see typefaces become more accessible to people. And if you want to see a really beautiful typeface, one of my favorites is Garamond, which is based on French fonts from the 16th century. And it's actually used on the official State Department website, state.gov. And you will instantly see like lights going on in a room. What a beautiful, crafted, elegant font looks like, with just gorgeous details and wonderful, interesting shapes. You want to focus on the lowercase a and really, really get excited about fonts if you look at Garamond. And this is also a widely available font. It's shipped on many people's computers, and you can easily download digital files if you don't have it already. So you can really upgrade your everyday memos with some very, very pretty Garamond.
Well, that's interesting. I wonder why the State Department then didn't go with Garamond instead of Times New Roman. Maybe it's just not widespread enough. I don't know.
Yeah, I mean, it would be hard to make sure that every State Department employee in every nation on the planet actually had the right font file on their computer. So Times New Roman is a safer choice and more accessible in that sense of the word.
Do you think that ultimately, as accessibility standards become something, presumably that, the march of time will lead people to think about that more and more, despite what the Trump administration says, calling the Calibri a DEI font, I think was another way they referred to this. Do you think we will lose some of the serifs, serif fonts that will kind of become a thing of the past, and we will just drift more and more to sans serif in the future, more blocky fonts, less ornate fonts?
Oh no, Brian, that will never happen. Serifs are here to stay. They are so beautiful and they are so embedded in the whole history of Western civilization. And in fact, scientists for the last 100 years have struggled to prove whether serifs or the lack of serifs actually makes typefaces more legible. And it turns out to be extremely difficult to prove it one way or the other. So we might have a feeling of greater comfort or greater familiarity with one or the other typeface categories. But I think what you're really seeing when you look at Calibri is how big it looks. And it's not the serifs all by themselves that are creating that effect.
Fascinating. Well, Ellen Lupton is a graphic designer. She is on the graduate faculty at the Maryland Institute College of Art, and she's the author or co-author of numerous books on graphic design, including, most appropriate for our conversation today, Thinking with Type, a critical guide for designers, writers, editors, and students. Ellen, it's been fun. Thank you so much for joining me today on the 21st show.
Thanks for the fonts, Brian.
That's it for us this week. Coming up on Monday's show, we're going to be talking about the latest federal government payments, or bailout if you prefer, for farmers, $12 billion. Remarkably, the same amount as one of the first payments for farmers during the first Trump administration. We'll talk about that with a reporter and an expert in the field. Plus, we will talk about Illinois making an appearance in a video game, American Truck Simulator. Yes, you too can find out what it's like to drive the big rigs through some cities in Illinois, an increasing number of cities in Illinois. We'll talk with some of the designers behind that game about what goes into putting the 21st state into a video game. I want to urge you to join our texting group. You can do that by sending the word talk to 217-803-0730. We love asking questions and talking about what we're going to be having coming up on the show, and you can submit your questions or comments to our guests. Again, you join that by sending the word TALK, T-A-L-K, to 217-803-0730. The 21st Show is produced by Christine Hatfield, Harrison Malkin, and Jose Zepeda. Our digital producer, Colson Kahn. Technical direction and engineering from Jason Croft and Steve Mork. Reginald Hardwick's our news director. The 21st Show is a production of Illinois Public Media. I'm Brian Mackey. Thanks for listening.